Butcher.
Here.
Colosima.
Present.
Nashiski.
Here.
Breeders.
Nay.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Tirulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
A quorum is established.
I know we did have one amendment to the agenda. We have to take some off the consent version.
We request consent agenda item number 2, which is ADM 2018-96.
Number 2 will put under admin committee report. Any other amendments to the agenda? All those in favor of amending the agenda as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we do have a couple of presentations this evening. And Tyler, we'll start with you. Would you like to come forward?
Yes.
And Tim, we do have a certificate of appreciation for your service here. I'll let Tim present it.
A couple of things about Tyler and just get started. One, it's a pleasure to recognize you here tonight. And it's also not just a pleasure to recognize you, but it's a real pleasure to have been working with you the last 5 years. Kind of a quick side note, I had to get a chuckle a month or two ago when Aaron sent out the email to set this up. Shay, Ty, and I were meeting and discussing this situation and some other stuff, and Tyler just said, you know, I never really thought I was going to be here 5 years. And what I got a kick out of was, is it just brought me back to when we were interviewing Shay. And during Shay's interview, she goes, well, I can guarantee you I'll be here at least 3 years. She's been here 10 plus years. And I thought of myself, and 15 plus years ago, when I applied for the position, I had no clue where this place was at. And this was before smartphones. I had to actually call my dad to get a map out to look at where Yorkville at. And, you know, and he emailed it to me on a Yahoo account that I had to create. I remember coming for the interview, and I felt good about it. I went back. I was talking to some friends. And during the interview, they were all like, what's going on with Yorkville? And I go, you know, I really don't know a whole lot about the city. And some guy goes, you're going to love it. It's a great town. I go, why is that? He goes, they got a hot dog guy, and you can eat a hot dog every day. And he was right. It's a great town. But the bigger picture, what it got me thinking about was, in the last year, working with Shay and Tyler in particular, is the passion that these guys have, not just working for the city of Yorkville and wanting to be here, and providing great programs for the residents of Yorkville. And I think that's a great compliment to the council, to the mayor, to Bart, for creating an environment these guys want to be here, that they feel like the work they're doing is meaningful, that they can be professionally successful to reach career goals. And so I do compliment you guys on that, and thank you guys for putting up with me, you in particular, too. And when I throw out a lot of ideas, you guys are there to support me with it. As for Tyler, you know, he's born in Rockford, Illinois, raised in Belvedere. He went to Belvedere North High School, where he graduated from. Afterwards, he made an excellent choice of going to the University of Illinois, except I don't think they told him, as one being from Champaign, that he was going to be a tortured men's basketball football fan and endure a lot of losing seasons. But he had a great opportunity of being a manager on the football team, and I think he was on one of the last football teams that had a winning season and got to a bowl game.
Second to last.
But while there, also he majored and graduated in recreation, sports, and tourism management. After graduation, we were lucky enough to be able to interview him pretty quickly and hire him as a recreation coordinator focusing in on athletics. During his time, he's just done a tremendous job with the athletics program and fitness program. I think it's something that I kind of started, Shay built it, and Tyler's just taken it to a whole nother level. And I know the mayor's been in a lot of programs. Joel's been in the programs. It's a tremendous amount of work when you have 500, 600 kids going through a basketball, soccer league. And Tyler makes it run as smoothly as you can expect. We go to conferences, we talk to staff, and hear horror stories. And it's just real amazing and a testament to Tyler's ability to be able to multitask all those things. Because of that success, he was promoted to recreation manager, where he's assisting Shay more with special events, catalog, things of that nature. He's also in his 5 years graduated from the Illinois Professional Development School with IPRA, Illinois Parks and Recreation, as well as he is recognized by the National Parks and Recreation Association as a certified Parks and Recreation professional. So I do thank you, Tyler. I also want to thank your parents and your girlfriend. I know you work a lot of nights, a lot of weekends, and you need their support because I know you'll have to adjust your schedule and things of that nature. Unlike with my wife, she thinks sometimes I'm making these things up just to get out of the house. It is true. I do hope 5 years from now we're back here recognizing you, and Shay's still here, and the hot dog guy's still here as well. So thank you very much. Thank you. bring them up for a picture? Shay, you want to come up?
The job's not getting any earlier. It's any easier once you take on baseball. Whatever. Presentation for the Flags of Valor to the American Legion and Veterans Assistance Commission. And we have representatives that would like to come forward. And Tim? I don't know who came up with the idea, but I thought it was fabulous. I mean, our park was beautiful. Gave me a way to honor my father and my brother who just recently passed away. I was happy about that. And yeah, the park looked great.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to thank Donovan with the Kendall Veterans Kendall County Outreach and Tim with the local Yorkville American Legion. It's been great working with them just on, I know Tim with the Memorial Day ceremony, as well as some other events. We worked with him on the Home Depot to try to get some improvements over at the Legion, and then working with Donovan and his event at the Red Light Blue this year. And then, yeah, it was great for the three of us and Michelle to come together to do something. I've always wanted to do something for Veterans Day. I know they do a lot at the Legion, and I know that was Tim's concern of adding more on his plate. But to do something that we thought would be very visually exciting for the community and that everyone could be a part of, as well as hopefully get some funds back to what you guys are doing, which I think is pretty important in this community. So I know this year we got off a little bit of a late start, but it was great to see we sold 50 yards. Had 50 flags sponsored, and I truly feel like this could grow, and hopefully we can get up to 1,000, 2,000 flags. So I just want to thank you guys. Here are the checks.
Thank you.
From the proceeds from this. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate everything you guys do. And honestly, I'll just take a quick moment to introduce who we are. My name is Calvin Torres. I run the Veterans Outreach for Kendall County. This is Andrew Jackson. He's the president of the organization. We're the newest veterans organization in Kendall County. So to be able to do this in our second year is just phenomenal. We really appreciate everything you guys do and your support. So thank you.
From the American Legion standpoint, this is awesome that the city can get together with the Legion and groups like the Outreach Program that can do some things that the Legion can't do. And same with Parks and Recs in the city and the mayor's support. Together, there's an unbelievable amount we can do and we have done. And I think next year is going to be a banner year for us to continue to display the flags as a way, as Gary said, to really honor a veteran, honor your father, your grandfather, or anyone that you think you'd like to honor. And it's a program I think that will really promote, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Wholeheartedly. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Tim.
All right.
Okay. moving on to the mayor's report. City liability insurance. Why?
It's because
I'll entertain a motion to authorize entering into a one-year insurance agreement with American Alternative Insurance Corporation, Glatfelter, for property damage insurance in an amount not to exceed $174,000. To authorize entering into a one-year insurance agreement with the Illinois Public Risk Fund for workers' compensation insurance in an amount not to exceed $171,179. To authorize entering into a one-year agreement with Metro Insurance Services in an amount not to exceed $19,000. And to repeal the motion passed on November 13, 2018, authorizing a one-year agreement with the American Alternative Insurance Company for property and casualty insurance in the amount not to exceed $171,569, authorizing a one-year agreement with the Illinois Public Works Fund for workers' compensation insurance in the amount not to exceed $171,179, and authorizing a one-year brokerage agreement with Metro Insurance Services in the amount not to exceed $19,000.
Second.
Comments or questions, please? I have a question. Can we make this any shorter?
Yes.
Who I asked the attorney.
I did.
Sure.
No, that is a change. It's a change in the amount, so we have to redo and reschedule. Sorry.
Okay. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Coke?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Turles?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Nalszewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve a resolution requesting separate limiting rates for all city funds and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Fletcher?
Aye.
Frieders?
This isn't on my agenda.
Huh?
This isn't in my packet. It goes from
under mayor's report.
Mayor's report.
To goes from liability workman's comp to tax levy. And that's next.
This is tax
levy. 2A.
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 Aye.
Turles?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Nalszewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Coke?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Kind of painkillers they give me.
Biking, they suck.
I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance for levying assessment taxes for the fiscal year beginning on May 1, 2019 and ending on April 30th, 2020, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Frieders.
Aye.
Turles.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Nalszewski.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Fletcher.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, road to better roads. I'll entertain a motion to approve a professional services agreement for design and construction engineering in the 2019 road program and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Motion.
So moved. Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
You're so moved. I'm sorry.
Someone over there.
Peterson. Thank you. You said roll call?
Yes, please.
Turles.
Aye.
Pelosimo.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Nalszewski.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Fletcher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve 5-year pavement management plan.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions?
I just have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
So we talked about goal setting, about increasing spend, and then in the last road to better roads, we talked about spending $700 a year. This one is to talk about the 5-year as if we were going to still spend $700, but because of our goal setting meeting, we're going to be talking about doing 1.4 or 1.5 annually. So the 5-year plan might end up being a little bit smooshed together and different.
So the 5-year plan is more informational than a commitment. Really all you're doing is committing to the first year, which is what we just did with the engineering current five-year plan based on our current funding amount. To the extent that we alter that funding amount going forward, because it's a city council goal, so we do that as part of the budget process, we could then amend this plan to communicate a new five-year plan.
Okay, so this is still the course that we were taking, but now that we have an updated goal, basically we'll be making the changes as we approve them.
Yes, so this five-year plan is based on about a $700,000 annual budget.
Cool, thank you for the clarification.
Any other questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess, is the only criteria we're using the condition of the road, or are there other criteria? Because I just have a question. My ward got Wayne Street, which in my opinion is the worst street in the city of York. I've driven it, it's only a block and a half long. You can't drive it, it's undriveable.
You're now between 176 and 71?
It connects 71 and 176.
I've heard about it.
And they're building the church there now, so that it's going to bring in a little bit more traffic, and it's literally unpassable. So I don't know how that street could be, like, I think it was 2 years off, and there were other streets, and it's like $39,000 or $40,000. So I was hoping that maybe I could encourage people to help that street out a little bit. Yes.
We did hold off on that one for a year because IDOT is supposed to do major improvements to that road with Route 71. They're basically going to complete that road with the Route 71 project.
Okay.
Yes. So we held off.
So we're depending on the state of Illinois.
They're already starting that project, so it's funded.
Yeah, I'll later only see it.
No.
Yeah, I get it.
That's why we did it.
But yeah, the road is, at this point is unpassable. I encourage all the other people to drive.
No, I have a school bus driver friend that has to go down the road and pick up two students and complains every time it's here. You know? Okay.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions on the 5-year payment management plan? Roll call, please.
Pelosina?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion passes.
No public works committee report, no economic development committee report, no public safety committee report. Under administration committee, we have number 2 on the consent agenda. And I'll turn that over to Roman Lewis.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the 11th amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2018 and ending on April 30th, 2019, Parks and Recreation Fund, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions? Yes, sir.
So there is a memo that I emailed out to everybody from Tim this afternoon. There's a printout on your desk. I think we can get into the details, especially if you have questions about it. In general, the committee had asked for a list of events that YYBSA is currently completing. And really the crux of that question was, what's the budgetary performance of those events? And did we include those within our own estimates or the YYBSA proposal? So the answer is we don't know what the budgetary performance are of those events that are listed in the memo. But we also did not include them within our own budgetary proposal for the program. And we don't believe that the budget performance of those events are included within the YYBSA proposal either. And that's based purely on the fact that we were able to engineer the number of $190,000 in total revenue strictly from program fees. And it matches about what YYBSA did last year with a similar number of fees and participants. So we don't think that it's a huge fundraiser, or if it is, it's being funneled to some other purpose for the organization and not necessarily to the in-house league.
Okay. Yes.
Just a quick question. So this year in the memo, you marked that you're going to be adding the new backstops and bridge, but that's not an every year thing, right?
It's Beecher, isn't it? Not to Beecher. Tim's comment when I was talking with him was that there might be other fields where, as we're being more frequent with our maintenance, we might notice things. And so there was a thought that we might be doing similar projects on other fields next year.
So it's a safe estimate that you'd be investing anywhere between 20 and 30 back into the fields annually?
Tim would say you would like to reserve that dollar amount going forward. That's going to be part of the budget discussion.
But the first year we know that we have
The committee wanted to see a year-end report, and then the individual line items will be discussed as part of the budget proposal in January.
Okay. And then towards the latter part of the description in the memo, does the city become the organization after the first 3 years, or is this it's going to remain completely independent the entire time, just that you're going to manage it?
No, I mean, it'll be our program. Okay. Basically, I mean, I just think in the 3 years when we discussed the transition agreement, was they were more concerned on the travel law, ensuring they had field space on the city in return for kind of handing this program over to us. And then I also think in there, if there was any moment within the 3 years that the cities didn't normally know why we wanted to do this, that they had an opportunity to take it back first before we just went and said, hey, we're just getting rid of it. We're going to a different room.
So possibly after the 3rd year, that's when there would be one insurance policy, just the city of Yorkville.
Well, there's no insurance policy. I mean, we always, from any group, want insurance, certificate of insurance. So if any organization, the Fury, the Reds, why would they say the travel program, they would have to submit insurance to us to rent the fields.
Okay.
So that would happen no matter what, with or without any agreement.
Okay. So each individual team holds it?
This would be just part of our normal insurance as we do with basketball, soccer, or anything else.
Okay.
The agreement's on the back end of the memo will be approved by parole. So I think he was just giving that to you as an informational item.
I mean, those are just kind of the parameters we started to put together. Their biggest concern in our meetings was ensuring that they would get field space for the track wall.
Yeah.
Which, being a Yorkville organization, that would be a priority to me and to our staff as well.
Before I got Tim's memo, when it talked about a one part-time employee being on the side, I thought that a part-timer would have a hard time, because I think their board has 23 people that's all they do is baseball. So, but I think reading the memo, looks like there's going to be a lot of help between both sides on this, so that should solve that problem. I do think that I didn't see in here too much about the schools. I think we need to reach out also and get something, because I know the schools do their evaluation. They have the varsity players come and help, because you should evaluate these kids so you balance these in-house teams out. Otherwise, you'll get somebody to pick a team and it'll be staff, and that won't go good for you. So and I think there's some school fields that probably you'll need to use, especially for the high school field, the freshman field. The older boys play on that, and that's because it's a grass in the field.
We understand that. That's something Shane and I meet with the school on a bi-monthly basis. And we were just kind of getting this budget amendment passed first, so we knew what direction we were going in, and that we were able to do this. And then we'll get the advisory board set up, and then meet with the schools. Because that's kind of like we need their approval to be able to get on the fields. And so and that's a little bit of a separate issue that we need to talk to them about.
Is Rusty going to be one of the individuals in the transition process?
I mean, right now we have no idea who was on it. Okay. I think initially before we really could move forward, because now we're spending funds beyond what was approved last year from the city council, we needed to get this kind of done first, and then we would hire already one member from the executive board. We've kind of already preliminary put her through the background checks to bring her on board to kind of work with Tyler to kind of start putting this all together.
Because
so, I mean, she would bring recommendations. I mean, we were planning on working with her to bring recommendations of who are the 4 or 5 people, and Rusty still being the president of that organization, of who would want to do this.
He would be probably a good point person when you go to with the schools, if he has a relationship there, and I think that would go smoother for you.
I'm not too worried. I think we have a pretty good relationship with the schools. I mean, with Pat Brown, we've really developed a very strong relationship with him, and I think we can work that out with him.
So, I mean, they were even going to the high school. The freshman field, they had their YYDS guy came out with that, so they were pretty open to things, so it could
be good. I mean, those are probably all issues that we might even have to be working with Bart, and what equipment is maybe need worked out if we go onto their own fields, and then because we'd be very limited maintenance in the basketball courts. I mean, I don't know if they'd want us out there waxing the courts. So, I mean, same with the loan, we would want to just make sure.
Who does your evaluations with basketball program? Is it that high school basketball players help you guys with evaluations, or who does it?
We used to have the basketball team help.
So it's
When Dan McGuire did it, and then through the transitions and things like that, they just were unable to commit. So now, when staff does it, Tyler leads it with who we have, and it's gone very smoothly.
Yeah.
I would say we're used to. I mean, our basketball program has over 500 kids. I mean, even in the spring, summer baseball league, you're only looking at 600, 650 kids. It's 930 when you get the follow-up to them. So we're used to handling something this size and working with parents and getting volunteers and putting this all together.
But you know how that, it will, they'll stack a team if...
we do.
So, but I mean, I think that process, the way they had it...
I still got my jersey from the Bulldogs.
I do too.
But as someone who's coached for a while, I guess, had three boys go through the program, and three boys who went through Parks and Rec programs, I'm confident this is a good move for the residents. You know, I think the baseball program will be run just as good as soccer, basketball, and we get nothing but confidence on those programs. I think baseball will be the same way. So I'm excited to see this happen. It's going to be a lot of work for you guys. My biggest concern is that you guys are going to be overstretched.
Yeah.
You know, there's a huge, huge program you're taking on, but...
A lot of volunteers.
And honestly, I think you might be surprised if you might get more people.
More,
because sometimes these private baseball leagues, to parents like me, whose kids aren't like all-star baseball players, are kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, they're like private league, and you expect they're like the cream of the crop, and you don't want to throw your kid into the bull's head. But you feel comfortable doing it on a park district level. You know, that's your park district. It's not going to be highly competitive. It's going to be more developmental. So I think people are going to be more comfortable putting their who don't have all-star children, putting them in more of a park district team than this private organization. Because you always think private, you think big money, and you think really skilled kids and things like that. So
yeah,
your numbers might actually grow.
Plus, I think the accountability factor. Accountability and, you know, openness to the program, I think people will be a lot more comfortable with it.
Yeah,
any other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Holoksima?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Nothing from Park Board, nothing from PCC. No city council report, city clerk's report. Why do we put that on the agenda? Have you ever had a city clerk's report?
Once. Once?
Every 2 years, you like your package already.
Do you have any community or liaison reports? Not staff reports?
I just want to add, Your Honor, we had a pretty big snow event over the weekend, so the guys worked 16-hour shifts that day and then came back to work the next day. So thanks to them for their hard work, long hours. We do have a fair amount of mailbox complaints, ice holder complaints in the driveways still to follow up on. So we're hoping to do that here by the end of the week. But if anyone gets anything forward over to us, we can give you an update after we get them. Hopefully everything goes by the weekend. So that's all I
had. I've only had one complaint, one driver complaint, and I left for work about 5:20 Monday morning. The roads were beautiful in Yorkville, I thought, considering. Once we got up, I got up north, St. Charles, the paved area, it was a lot worse than Yorkville was. So I thought you guys did a great job.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah, I got complaints about the driveways, but I told people, look, your driveways are going to get blocked, people. We have thousands of driveways in Yorkville. They cannot plow and clear everybody's driveway. So I'm sorry, I had a 3-foot mound of frozen snow on the other driveway. I got up, I cleared it, and lo and behold, I got some work out of it. So, not to do about that, people.
Especially on a
cul-de-sac. Especially on a cul-de-sac, yes, we get a nice mountain. So,
yeah.
Not to do about that. You guys did a great job, and I think the roads were phenomenal. So.
Thank you. And then,
in regards to the mailboxes, can we, for the short term, put the form to the mailbox complaint or the policy up on the front of their websites?
Yeah.
So that one, I know. That's not an issue.
My mailbox was one of the ones that got hit, and I heard them coming down the road, and I started taking pictures, and you can physically tell that the snow took my mailbox out, not the actual plow, which was disappointing, because I wanted to be right. But I have physical proof, and then throughout the day, I was getting complaints. I'm like, well, this is what happened to mine, sharing my pictures. Like, the snow can do that? Well, that particular mailbox has been there since June of 2009. So, I mean, it's had a good run.
This is a heavy, heavy wet snow.
Yeah.
I can see them taking out mailboxes.
Yep.
Okay, any additional business?
I just got one. If anybody here lives on the north side of town, you might have experienced this morning at 47 in Galena being another lovely morning. I'm not being told to do this or I can't sleep inside tonight, but my wife was one of the people that was on 47 going north this morning. And I knew about this at 6:15 this morning, and I didn't tell her when she left at 6:45, and she was still sitting there on right around the water park around 7:20. So I had to buy her dinner this evening and apologize, but I had emailed Bart in a rage, polite rage, asking what else we can do, and he basically said you can ask that they bring more attention to the area, write a formal letter, do something official, but I kind of wanted to let you guys know that I'm begging. I know that Whispering Meadows are done, and I thank you, and I love you all dearly. Maybe we can draft another letter saying please let us know what you're going to do and when they're going to happen. Because all of the phone calls and Facebook messages and emails that I got this morning were not very pleasant. And it's difficult to convey to residents that drive a road every day that it isn't owned by the city that they pay taxes to. So if there's any physical way of demonstrating to the powers that be at IDOT, I know that I have annoyed them in the past and they told me to shut up. But I would really, really appreciate some sort of agenda as far as when things are going to happen. Whether it's just a stoplight improvement, you know, say December 1st, sounds awesome. But that was the third outage in like a week. And thankfully, I don't have to drive north. I always drive straight east on Cannonball. But everybody who lives on the north side of town, or even on the south side, having to go north past the water park is brutal. And it's starting to really, really tick people off. So I would greatly appreciate if everybody here would go, yeah, let's write a nice, cute letter and send it. There's just no light. Like, it just stops working.
There was a big-time accident also.
Yeah, this was before the accident and before the power lines.
It's an old traffic signal, and they haven't updated any of the equipment to modern because they're going to go through and replace it at some point whenever they expand, which has too many years off, I think, in this case.
I think the first time that I asked Eric, why does this keep happening, and he said, mice. And I thought he was being facetious, but literally there are mice that crawl into the box and eat the wires. Well, right now, no matter what it is, you're causing 45 minutes to an hour and a half backup just to get to Sugar Grove. And that the pinch point, you haven't even hit the pinch point yet, and that pinch point's in between Prairie and Cross. So I know that construction's a number of decades away. But that particular intersection, if we can just get people east or west from there, I mean, I don't want to tell people my secret passageways to get through there, but it's come to the point where there are more people on L Domain avoiding 47. So now there are accidents. There was a near accident this morning near L Domain and Corneille's because people are trying to get around it. So it's the same conversation we had when I was asking people to get loud about 47 before, is that if we don't start making noise, it's going to sit there and we're going to wait and wait and wait and wait. That intersection has killed people, and now we've got people that are getting so angry that they're, you know, threatening divorce upon their husband who is sitting right here talking. So I would just like to see something happen. And if nothing is going to happen, put that in writing and let us know so that we can, you know, petition IDOT individually again. So whatever we can do as a community, I would greatly appreciate improvement at that intersection.
What was the result for our last letter we sent? It did like $5,000 in safety improvements, right?
It was worth more than that.
I think it was like $30,000. What did they pay? Did some stripes?
They did a minor study, and then it showed that the turning radius of the trucks onto Galena was an issue, so they moved the west leg of the intersection stop bar further back, further west, away from the intersection. And it has improved. I've seen it, you know, work more than a few times.
Yeah, but they're not even done with 47 South, so they're not even starting thinking about 47 North until they finish that problem.
Well, I mean, it's in the phase one planning process, right. So
that's the
problem.
Right. Correct. Yeah. No, they haven't funded phase two yet.
If you're driving to Morris, hey.
Oh, you can get there in 10 minutes.
Really, 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sick of having the northbound version of Yorkville be stopped. And like, we're not making any money there. I mean, if there were gas stations and retails, like, hey, buy something. But it's the opposite of that. And people are, I can't wait to get out of Yorkville, but they physically cannot. So I would like to usher the route to 88 a little bit more briskly, because this last week has been really, really bad.
And Julie does want to leave you close with you and Smith. Doesn't provide those services. That would be a call. I'll cover a good rate.
I'll kill you, Mr. That was brutal.
We have no executive session. Do we have any citizen comments? Anything? Anything you'd like to talk about? We're here for you.
It's just me, myself, and I there. I don't have any employees. I just provide massage. I'm a holistic nutritionist. I've had my business in town for almost a year and a half now, and it just came really as a shock to me when I received the paperwork that I had to have everything in order by November 9th, and the paperwork said that this was something that had been decided January 1 of 2018, and was going to take effect January 1, 2019. So it felt disrespectful to me that I was just being informed of it at such a late date. And it almost felt as if it was done in such a way that I would not be able to meet those requirements in order to get the license. And then when I spoke to the city official who sent the paperwork to me, I felt a real lack of compassion. And one of the reasons that I felt drawn to Yorkville is I really like the small town vibe. I like the feeling. I had good experiences with everyone I knew from Yorkville. I've worked in the field that I'm working in for over 16 years. I have a bachelor's degree in study psychology and social work. And the correspondences that I've had with the city have felt as if they're not treating me in a respectful way. And I have a lot to offer. I have clients who are asking me, you know, what's going on. It's been a very awkward thing for me. It feels unjust to me. Before I even decided to open, I went to the city. I went over to Fox Street, and then I came here to this location, and I asked, you know, what all did I need to do? They said, place an ad in the paper. I got my certificate of ownership. I said, is there anything else I need to do? They said, no, that I was fine. And it just felt strange that I was allowed to operate until March of this year. I received a letter that said I needed a building inspection and a building permit, which I complied with. I did everything I passed. I was given a permit. And then they came back again in July and stated to me that there was an issue with my signage, which was never discussed with me prior, and then I did everything to comply with that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is these were things that happened much sooner than I feel they should have. And also, if these decisions were made about licensing January 2018, and I was involved with city inspectors and about the signage, March of 2018, July of 2018, April of 2018, at any of those occasions, someone could have mentioned this legislation to me, and it was not. So I guess I would just like to understand how, from what I understand, these changes have come because of unfortunate incidents at some other massage establishments, so the codes have been changed. And while I can understand that and the desire to protect the safety of the public, it feels as if folks like myself who have done nothing wrong are being unjustly penalized for someone else's errors. And it seems to me that I am aware there are certain exemptions that are granted and that there is such a thing as grandfathering. And I feel as though I should have been granted an exemption under grandfathering, or at least some consideration should have been given for the fact that I am a small business. If I were a big chain or I had several employees and I was generating vast income, I could then understand how it might be feasible to create a major construction on my building, but that construction, I just feel that if any of you were in my shoes and you had to walk in them, you would have a little bit of compassion and understanding. If someone came to you and said, make these changes or you can't do business in town, even though you've gone to all the education and you've put everything, you've invested everything into the shop with the goal of helping others, and now if someone does something wrong and we're taking that from you, it just doesn't feel well. And I've come here just to kind of speak my piece and be heard publicly, because I'm just hoping someone might have something kind or something to offer me so that I can understand this better.
Mark, you were in this situation. I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, somewhat. I actually had a conversation with Lisa today about your specific issue as regards to licensing. Her and I were going to talk about it with the police chief and code official and get back to you with a letter of recommendation and a couple other ideas of potentially amending the code. So I can be in touch with you.
Can we put that in EC for next month?
So
sure. We can touch base, because this is the first I've heard of this.
The crux of the issue is the code requires the massage room to be unlocked. And this is a single room establishment, so the sole proprietor. So the door has to be locked when performing the massage for privacy purposes to the actual exterior of the unit. And so the code doesn't have any discretion over that. So to me, I'm sure that the code was not drafted in regards to thinking about a one-room establishment, so I was going to see if there's anything else that, you know, we could either recommend at the staff level or bring it up for a city code amendment to be able to accommodate you. That was a conversation I think I had at 4:30 today, so I hadn't a chance to type it up yet.
Can we just put it in EDC just so that it slips the cracks and we can discuss it at EDC and see where we're at?
Yes, the EDC package was out on Thursday, so I'm not sure that we'll have anything up.
Well, just put a line for discussion, that way we can discuss it and not violating the Open Meetings Act.
Sounds good.
Okay.
That would be next Tuesday.
So someone may reach out to me next Tuesday?
We have a meeting here in that room back there for economic development. Since you brought it to our attention, we'll discuss it and figure out a way to.
Is that a public meeting? Is that something we can attend?
Yes.
This coming Tuesday at 7 p.m.?
6 p.m.
Oh, 6
p.m.
Sorry.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find a way to accommodate you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate it. This has given me an opportunity to look into my rights and to do a lot of research I may not have done otherwise. So I'm thankful in some senses for this opportunity. Yeah.
City government is first, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other sense of comments? Jay, anything? Meeting adjourned.